death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. Welcome back to the other side of the news. This is Dr. Bob Fitrakis here talking with my good friend and fellow academic, Marilyn Howard. Welcome once again, Marilyn, Professor Howard, to the other side of the news.
Thanks for having me. Wow, what a year.
Yeah, we're, well, what can we say? Historically, you're a historian. What can we say about 2020 and American politics and culture?
Well, you know, I started out the year saying to one of my colleagues, Dr. Nardone, I said, this reminds me of 1968, where there was something every, some big crises every month.
Something in the air.
So that I was able to put together a whole exhibit of that for the last time that Will Haygood was here. You know, crisis a month. January was Tet, and then April was King's assassination, and June was Robert Kennedy. So it kind of reminds me of that year. She said,
and the upset in New Hampshire, of course, where the
yes,
in February.
Yeah, she said it reminded her of the 1850s, the antebellum decade. But that's the only thing I can think to compare it to. That it just is. How about you wonder how much worse it can get? We know it can, but I don't know. It's baffling. I'm angry. Just all kinds of things going on, and nobody in the government responding.
Well, and again, there's particularly in Europe, a lot of the people that lost their jobs during the pandemic were given guaranteed incomes. They were paid their salary. In the U.S., there'll be these little notions of large special interest making hundreds of billions of dollars off some obscure part of the pandemic relief bill. So a completely different approach, right? That what we used to call American exceptionalism, no social democracy. But again, in New Zealand and Australia, particularly New Zealand, you know, for a while there, the virus was totally eradicated.
Yeah.
And partly is they paid everyone to stay home. They locked down for 14 days and left.
Well, you know, we have this thing in this country about that kind of thing. Everything, if you want to scare somebody about policy, all you got to do is say socialist in front of the word, whatever it is. We are quick to say, oh, no, we don't want to give people something for nothing. Well, you know, we do that every day in terms of a lot of these interest groups, give them something for nothing all the time.
Yeah, we give corporations something for nothing.
Yeah.
We gave Les Wexner $500 million to in infrastructure to build New Albany for the rich.
Exactly. And corporations have done very, very well this year. Very well. And so the notion that...
Well, particularly the largest and monopoly-like corporations have used the pandemic to get even richer.
Yes, they've done...
A lot of these small entrepreneur capitalists, the very small businesses that are very labor-intensive and hire people in the communities, those were the ones hit the hardest.
I know the place where I have my car serviced, that he got one of those PPE loans. No, for small businesses when they first came out in March or April. And so that was how he was able to stay open. You know, it's just, he just employs like six people. But, you know, the money always goes to the wrong people. It's always late. It's never enough. And it's just like we have decided we're going to take care of the top 1% of people in America and all the rest of America can go to hell. And as you said, these people who are in these frontline jobs, I've been thinking about my late mother, God rest her soul, saved, sanctified woman, as you know. She worked at a nursing home. She would have been right there on the front line of that. And so we've forgotten about
this. Which is my sister-in-law who has the virus now. She works in a nursing home.
Right.
You know, the assisted living. And she was cleaning nonstop. And, you know, she doesn't make money. I mean, her company told her she'd just have to take her own sick days, right? They're not going to pay her.
No, not at all.
You know, or file for unemployment. You come back, your low-paying job will be here. That's highly dangerous when you come back.
Yeah, you know, what do you think about this package that was passed and the muddle that the president made of it? He's got it kind of mixed up. Would you think of the package? And I saw, I haven't looked at the news a lot. I looked at the headlines this morning, but that the Republicans blocked the $2,000 issue.
Well, it would seem better to infuse money from the bottom up into the economy than it would be to give it, you know, to the Bezos of the world, the Gates, the people that are already, Zuckerberg, all the ones that are already rich, who are doing quite well in this pandemic.
Well, you know, tomorrow, a lot of those protections run out. The anti-eviction, that last day for that is tomorrow. All those other kind of things, those things run out tomorrow at 11:59 p.m. And in addition to that, what we are also not doing, there's going to be a mental health crisis of massive proportion in connection to this virus and all the kickbacks from it. There's going to be, especially for children, I mean, small children and older people, people at the bottom of society, you can already see, I would swear that there's an uptick in domestic violence, and it's been terrible. I mean, not just beating somebody or something, but, killing people, children. I've seen lots of terrible cases of domestic violence against children. You can't tell me people are not getting a little bit desperate here in this country.
No, absolutely. And again, studies everywhere, high levels of anxiety, high levels of depression and despair.
Yeah.
And that has to be dealt with as well. The piling up of huge amounts of debt. I mean, we're spending the whole economy on a debt package that doesn't seem to do much to alleviate, debt for the vast majority of people.
In terms of debt, what do you think there, Biden, if he ever gets to go to the Oval Office, what do you think about the canceling of student loans? I think that's the next real estate bubble. It'll be the real estate bubble like 2008. But if you cancel student loans, that's going to be, I don't know. I mean, I get it. I borrowed my way all through school because my father said it was a waste of money to send girls to college. So, you know, I was
obligated. I took student loans. I still have some remnants.
Yeah, so I know what it's like to have to send money to the government, but I think it's going to be the next bubble. I really do.
Well, one interesting thing was that by canceling student loans, it actually brings the wealth factors closer together for Blacks and whites. Is that Blacks, like in many ways, have disproportionate amount of the debt. So usually if it's bad, often people of color will have a disproportionate amount of it, including student debt.
And particularly these for-profit schools and the charter schools.
Like the, I remember being in Detroit and you take money out and go to, you know, somebody's glamorama and he's college.
Yes, yes. So yeah, that's I see that as the next bubble. But you know, if you do that, that infuses money into the economy. People can, they can, you know, go to work. They can maybe buy homes. They can start families. You know,
they just don't mail the check back to the government.
Yes, yes.
And so, in many cases, right, if they were in Europe, they wouldn't have. It would have been free in the sense
free,
the vast majority, no tuition.
That's right, free from the get go. But of course, we can't do that here because it would be socialist. It would be socialist.
So the wealthiest people that can send their kids to the Ivy School don't need socialism. And those that need a fair break don't get it.
Yeah, they don't get it. So yeah, I see that as being that in the mental health crisis that's already starting, you know, because of this pandemic. The two of them, when they really meet, it's going to be real hell. I see that. I don't know how we can get past those two things. And, you know, Fauci has said that, he doesn't see us getting back to quote unquote normal probably until next fall, which means, you know, you and I will, and then thousands of other people will be teaching. I don't see how we could possibly get back to next fall. You know, we're already on for spring, summer. If it looks like fall's the date, then we'll need all summer to pull things together. So this will have gone on like for a year and a half.
No, absolutely. And also there's the question of how many people of color and people in general are willing to get the vaccine. Many don't trust it.
Can you say Tuskegee syphilis experiment?
So yeah, disproportionately, Blacks have the highest rate of, and for ample reasons, I would think maybe Native Americans should even be higher.
That's it.
that smallpox in the blanket thing by the British never really set well.
You know, I talk about the Tuskegee experiment, and I often start off by saying, has anybody ever heard of this? And say, don't get it mixed up with the Tuskegee pilot experiment. This is about syphilis. And there's always a person who says the government gave people syphilis. Now, you and I both know that the government has done some terrible things and continues to do terrible things as we speak. But these were people, syphilis was, it was like the cold, the common cold or something. This was common, you know, they saw that in World War I when they're drafting, you know, white men go to war, all these sexually transmitted diseases. So, you know, I say, no, they weren't given this, but they were led to believe, they knew they had something, that the government was going to help them. And it certainly started out that way, but, you know, by middle of 1932, there's no money, and the philanthropists, they pull out. And so they just decide, okay, well, let's just watch these people and see what happens if they don't get treated. And so, of course, the Black community is worried about that. And you can trace these kinds of experiments on marginalized cultures back to colonial America, back to the 1600s. So, of course, they're worried about it. And we don't really know much about the reaction. There have been a handful of really, you know, bad reactions. And that happens with every medication. But it's going to be very difficult to get Black people to say, oh, you know, roll up your sleeve, trust us, this is good for you. I saw that Vice President-elect Harris, she got the shot and is out in the community. And people have suggested, since LeBron James has his finger on the pulse of the Black community, and he's such a special person, if people like him get involved to get these shots, then that may be helpful. But the people who really, really need it, it's decimated the American Native American community. People who really need it are going to be the ones who are most afraid to get it, and we'll skip it.
So, and the question is also, do you wait for a more traditional one? I mean, that first one seemed a bit strange. You needed two of them, and they had to keep it very, very cold.
Very cold, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And they're pushing the story that this was developed by a Black female scientist, you know, so. It's safe, they say to Black people, well, safe, a Black person developed this. So, you know.
It was done by a doctor.
Yeah.
Marilyn exactly. Howard.
But yeah, that's right. Don't call me if somebody faints or something. Then, of course, Mrs. First Lady elect is getting a lot of flack over that because she has doctor in front of her name. And again, that's just a way to, I think, cut people down. I don't go around saying, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so, but, you know, in a professional sense, people who do that, they've worked very hard and they deserve that. And the guy who was criticizing her hadn't taught a college course for, I don't know, 30 years and only had a bachelor's degree when he did. So again, it's another way to cut down women and their accomplishments, but also, it's part of that long anti-intellectualism that, you know, is rampant in America. God forbid you be a
loaded Richard Hofstetter wrote a massive book on that, which I believe was supposed to be reissued if it hasn't been already.
Yeah. What's the name of that? I should remember that.
Anti-intellectualism in American history.
Yeah. His stuff. Yeah. I always enjoyed, you know, when I got assigned to read something by him, stuff was I thought was really good. So,
and you're working on we're working on the same book project on white supremacy in Ohio.
Yeah, we are deep. Now, when is that going to come out?
Scheduled for July.
April, May. July. Okay.
Yeah. Did you? Well, that's, you know, hopefully it'll come out sooner. Yeah, I'm pleased. They used one of my photos of the neo-Nazis on the as one of the cover.
I saw photos. That. He sent me a copy of that. So it's a very arresting photo there.
Did you get your part in the your manuscript back yet?
It's gone. I mean, they've edited and it's gone. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
no, I just got mine back last week.
Well, yeah, I just had, you know, a few pages. You had hundreds of pages. So mine was already taken care of some months ago. By the way, that was...
No, how'd they do in copy editing? It wasn't... you didn't have to do...
No, he said they did. He said they just did some things to make it flow better and then some, you know, the normal copy editing process. And I realized that. They said that it was a good effort. But that was the hardest thing I've ever done. You better not write another book and ask me to write an intro for that about killed me. You should have seen all the crumpled pieces of paper I had on the floor.
I hear you. Well, you're listening to WGRN 94.1 FM. I'm Dr. Bob Fitrakis. Uh-oh, yeah, I used that doctor in front of my name. Dr. Bob Fitrakis, JD, PhD, Esquire.
Yes. Dr. Marilyn Howard, BAMA, PhD.
Who's talking with me on the other side of the news.
Well, you know, this is a good time, I think, to segue to the latest shooting of what appears to be an unarmed black man. Now, I've
Well, here in Columbus, we've had a couple of them, Casey Goodson Jr. Well,
the one that happened last week, that happened on Oberlin Drive. I lived on the road that ran parallel to Oberlin Drive, which is Norway.
Was that when you lived on the west side of the city?
No, that was when I lived. You used to say I was living a black woman in a white suburban body. I was living in Upper Arlington. When you pulled into the development, the first house on each side was Arlington. The rest of it was Columbus.
Oh.
I rented that house from a friend of mine. And since then, his nephew has bought the house. And so... You know, when I saw that, when they said Oberlin Drive, I was like, oh my God, you know, I got to get in touch with him. And he related an incident he had in his own house. This is a white kid, he's about as white as you can get. And he was in the basement where he had his TV and all that kind of stuff. And he'd left the garage door open. And before he knows it, there are two guys, you know, they open the basement door and they yell for him, who's in there, what's going on. And then they tell him, you know, come out with your hands up and come upstairs with your hands up and go backwards. Well, he had torn his Achilles heel and he was wearing a boot. And beside that, he was in his own house. And so he got quite a grilling when he got to the top of the stairs. And I told him, I said, you'd been black or you'd have been Latino, you'd been dead. So this is a so-called nice neighborhood. So I'm sure... in fact, we were the only black people on the block. And then there was an interracial couple. That interracial couple still lives there. But I'm sure they thought, what is this black man doing on Oberlin Drive at 2 o'clock in the morning? This is a nice neighborhood.
And that's Adam Coy, who's been fired, who shot and killed Andre Hill.
Well, you know, if you look at him, since 2001, there are 90 complaints in his personnel file. And this started early. 2002, I think, was the first time.
In the old days, Columbus police, that would mean he was going to get a promotion.
Yeah, exactly. He should be the chief.
I'm hoping now we see this disrespect and police brutality and these patterns and practices, these waves of it over time. As a red flag, not as a cause for promotion.
Yeah, well, he has 90 complaints. He had 9 complaints in 2003 alone, 4 of those in 1 month. And then probably the worst complaint he had was where he repeatedly bashed a motorist's head against the hood of the guy's car. And you know, someone saw it, a college student saw it, was so disturbed about it, he contacted the police. That's the only way they would have found out. So this idea, and, you know, he's fired. Well, you know, he should have been fired probably back in 2003 when he had 9 complaints and 4 of them in 1 month. But what we see is this, as you know, you've been involved in this a lot longer than I, but we see it goes on and on and on, and he get fired, and then the arbitrator somehow or another gets their job back. And even if they don't get their job back, they just shuffle on over to another police department. And, you know, there's no way of checking their background and, you know, the militarization of the police, you know, how they go out in riot gear and you know, tanks and guns and stuff.
Which that Casey Goodson Jr. case, yeah, where he shot, one of the things they weren't emphasizing, but it would be right at the bottom of an article, would be they were in plain clothes.
Yes.
And a lot of times, so it's like, oh, he was flashing a gun. So a guy's in your neighborhood looking like a white supremacist, and I can say that since I just co-wrote a book on it, and they're not in uniform. I mean, it's going to get, you know, if you're a black man, you're wondering, why are these 3 white guys here brandishing rifles and they're not in uniform? You know, they're out looking for a felon. Easily there could have been an exchange of words.
Yes, there was time for that.
But I still don't know how you thought the, you know, subway, even if it was a foot long, was a gun. I mean, that, you know, that made no sense. And the family did right by saying, look, his keys were in the door.
He's in the door.
The food
in
was
the
on
lock.
The floor.
Yeah. In the lock. And that's, and they start at the top. Instead, you know, punishment is supposed to start from the bottom up. They start with the worst thing you could do, kill somebody. And then they start backpedaling. In the case of the shooting on Oberlin Drive, they didn't have their cameras on. And the kind that the reason,
well, they didn't have them on, but thank God there was a 60-second prequel.
But no audio, no audio. But you know, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and somebody had called and said, here's a guy who keeps starting his car up, and he's sitting there and he shuts it off, and you know, did that a couple times, and he walked into an open garage. You know, they should have been camera'd up and, you know, good to go. So this whole idea about, oh, cameras are going to help, it doesn't, because they I forgot, or I didn't think it was going to escalate or anything. It ought to be on the minute you put your butt in the seat of your car, and it ought to be on the rest of your shift. So again, this is I don't know if you saw this, but it kind of looks like DeWine is going to sign that bill that so much favors the gun people. The bill is going to do away with a duty to retreat.
Well, that's how they justified gunfighting in the Old West.
Yeah.
You both stand in the street and neither of you has a duty to retreat, so you can walk towards each other till somebody shoots.
Exactly. So that, of course, if DeWine sticks around long enough, because it looks like there's been some articles of impeachment filed by his fellow Republicans, and they all have to do with nothing to do with that all that, you know, millions of dollars that the Republican Party got in Ohio through that energy thing. These all have to do with, he had the nerve during the pandemic to shut down the state. And so I think they got 12 articles of impeachment drafted already.
Yeah, and it's like, he was sane, he was reasonable, he followed scientific advice, he followed health department officials. I mean, so the only stuff that I agreed with him doing is what they're going to impeach him for.
Yes, exactly. And you know, they had a bill, I guess it was beaten back, but there was a bill that tried to take the health director, that person's in the executive branch of the government, take that person out of there and have them solely answerable to the legislature. So, I don't know. People were crazy.
Well, the last health director, remember, they were protesting at her house.
At her house. And DeWine even said, I'm the governor. I live in the governor's mansion. Come protest at the governor's. They frightened her. They frightened her into quitting that job.
Yeah, Amy acted.
Wouldn't be. She had children and a family and stuff. And who wouldn't be frightened by that? So just topsy-turvy. So there's that. So, you know, with the lack of duty to retreat, and the way that police operate, it's open season. It's open season on people of color, particularly young black men. And I'm a person, I've got a ton of nieces and nephews, several of them married to or in relations with white women. One of them and has a little boy himself. I got a lot of male cousins. This is, you know, when you hear unidentified Black man, it's just like I'm holding my breath, because is that one of my nephews? Is that one of my cousins? So, you know, this is something that white people, they don't think about. They don't have to worry about it when they send their kids, especially their boys. And you know, it used to be, Bob, as you well know, that in the African-American community, if you were a woman, what you worried about was being sexually assaulted by the police. But look what has happened to Black women, unarmed Black women, in their own homes or in their own vehicles or in their own yards. You know, so that's not protection anymore. It was historically what has been the thing for Black women. If you get picked up by a white police officer, especially in the South, what you were really worried about was sexual assault. Now you have the same chance of being killed as a young Black man. And that's a big societal change.
Well, interesting stuff with police behavior. Casey Goodson Jr., there's reports at the funeral, the police swooped in and ticketed everyone attending the funeral, including the mayor attended that funeral, but he's probably got a driver. But in that scenario, it's the same thing they did during the attack on Iraq in 2003. People that went to a protest on the east side of the system, all of them were written tickets. And you've got some background. Yeah, you know, you've studied law enforcement, criminal justice. What do you make of these kind of blatant acts of contempt
against the mayor? It's harassment. It is harassment. And I say that as a Black woman who's been stopped in the three whitest suburbs in Columbus, as you well know, since you represented me once. But it's harassment.
And they didn't buy your stories. You were just there to go to Macy's.
No, they didn't.
Couldn't you have just flashed your ID, your credit card?
Yeah, I should. Hey, look at this, you know. So, here, you know, I was coming from a hospice and visiting a dying relative, and I wasn't thinking. In fact, I thought the cop was kind of waving at me. I did, because he kind of
for the record, what communities were you driving?
That was Worthington. Black? So I've been stopped in Worthington twice, in Arlington, and once at Grandview. And ticketed every time.
And all of those are on the west or northwest side.
Yes, exactly.
And the Black population traditionally lived on the
0.08% in Upper Arlington. We are 0.08% of the population in Arlington. So it's been, and they are, one of the things I got several years ago, it's been almost 3 years ago now, I bought a new car. Of course, I put the new one in the garage and parked the old one on the street because my nephew was going to get it. And it was on the street for, I think, 2 days, maybe three at most. And I came home and there's a business card from the police officers. A neighbor had called the police and said there was an abandoned vehicle.
Yeah, it hadn't moved in 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they used to.
Now, I understand in Columbus, it's got to be 90 days.
Yeah.
But in Arlington, it must be 24 hours, and mine was there 48, so they were going to pick it up.
Well, we got less than a few minutes left. Yes. Any last thoughts as we ring in the new year, Dr. Howard?
Oh, my God. It could hardly get any worse. What I'd like to see now is these progressives in Congress. I love the message, but they've got to start writing some legislation. They got to start getting some of this stuff down and get some work done, get some real work done, and other than just speaking against people. So I'm hoping for that. Got a group of people in Congress who could do good work.
My good friend, Marilyn Howard, Dr. Marilyn Howard.
Dr. Marilyn Ness, doctor to you, buddy.
PhD.
BAMA PhD.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Happy New Year. And we're going to hope for better things.
All right. Let's do
it. All right. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. All right. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.